Mac Show. Yes, we're back from Macworld, and we are here to discuss that very show that was absolutely fantastic. We've got six lines running today, so if it all goes horribly wrong and you're not even hearing this, then sorry, you didn't hear the apology either. joining me to discuss the week at Macworld. What a week it was. What a great panel. I've had to leave Paul Wheatley off the view because I haven't got a six-way view. But starting us off, top left, one of my podcasting heroes, one of the first Mac podcasts I listened to, Mac OS Ken. Ken Ray, how you doing, man?
My dog is going crazy in the background.
That's
I apologize.
Okay. No, it's fine.
That's awesome, yeah. I record in the middle of the night when my dog's asleep, so nobody ever knows, but yeah. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm excellent. I'm good. Have you got any Mac withdrawal? Any Macworld withdrawal?
Any Macworld withdrawal? I got stuck in San Francisco for an extra day, so I got to see everybody for an extra day. Yeah. So I'm 1 day behind on the withdrawal, I would say. But it is kind of weird. It's weird how you sort of get used to. Well, of course, I'm going to be able to be a geek and talk about all this stuff all day long with people, and then you go back to your real life, and you know, everybody wants to talk about the weather.
Yeah. So. And we got to drink bourbon, and you got to start my education.
Well, it just, you know, enjoy in moderation.
Excellent.
That's really it.
Next to him, my compadre on the trip, Paul Wheatley.
Hello.
It's been ages since we've spoken, mate.
I know. I think I've spoken to you more than my wife in the last 3 weeks. I can't decide whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, maybe not. And just to add confusion to everything, yet another Paul, the man for Macworld, Paul Kent.
Woohoo! Good to see you, everybody. Nice to be with you again.
You are the person that we love the most because you give us an excuse to drink too much, eat too much, party too hard.
I'd love that to be on my tombstone.
No, that's it. Absolutely. My wife's going to put on my tombstone, life, the only thing you and Rankin ever finished. Because I'm bloody useless around the house.
I like it.
And then beneath him, it's Alison. Back beneath again, him. Second appearance.
I, for one, would like to say good morning to Duncan. I'm glad to hear he's there, Ken.
Dude, don't even do that. You're just going to encourage
Duncan,
him.
Come on, boy.
We'll wait and see what Duncan's opinions are, but I can maybe make him a lower third later. Next to Alison, it's Matt Cast himself. Paul, bloody hell. Adam Christensen, how you doing, mate? I have no idea what that was.
Who's dragging a body around?
And type in the death tag for them.
Hey, I'm doing good.
How's it going, mate? You're back from putting up with me and Wheatley farting for a week.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of yourself. And I'm putting in for more in a few years.
Yeah, you're coming over here.
Yeah, 2017. Get ready. You got lots of time.
Excellent. You've got to do a scouting visit, though. Come ahead of time and make sure that the ground's safe.
Yeah, funds is the problem. We'll see.
Excellent. I've just read what Steve's written in the chat room, and it doesn't help being a dyslexic at all. Gene McDonald is here from App Camp for Girls. How you doing, Gene?
I'm very good, thank you.
You need to send me a link to a Google picture of you, and I'll put that on instead of the fact that we can't get your video. I so apologise.
Yeah, well. That looks terrible.
It does. I'll sort it out in a second. Let me
I mean, you don't even have my bad Skype picture. Anyway, I will send you a link to the Google. That was quite a Macworld for App Camp for Girls, and I appreciate everybody on this chat was a huge supporter and help getting that to happen.
Excellent. No, I mean, we'll do
it. It was a great session.
It was. It was superb. And we'll talk a bit more about that as we go through through the podcast today because it was great. It's just us sitting down and talking about Macworld from this year and letting everyone know how frigging great it was. We did loads of coverage, which was really, really well received. Thanks to everyone who's written in and said something. But Paul, starting off with you, what was your kind of as the man who does all the major part of it and all the proper hard work rather than just watching us lightweights ride the coattails. How did Macworld go for you this year?
It was a terrific year. And one of the ways I measure Macworlds are this very subjective joy quotient. How happy are people walking around the show? The types of questions I'm getting, just the general way that people interacting with the show. And this year was really interesting. It was a little smaller in terms of attendance, but the overall productivity that people were telling us that they were getting, the products that they enjoyed seeing, the quality of the sessions, and then, you know, the what we call the hallway track, just the interaction, the networking, really off the charts in terms of how well people enjoyed the show. So we were really satisfied with it. It was very productive for people on all different levels. The new programs that we brought in were really well received, and the bars were full at night, so we're all very happy.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, anyone else take anything away from the week that based on what Paul said there? Because I've got to say, in the background, the vibe at the place was brilliant. Me and Paul were high on it, and I don't know if that's just because we're newbies or whether that's like that every year or not. I mean, we'll find out next year. But
I think what Paul said was spot on. I actually noticed it when I left and went to the airport. I was really confused because I didn't know anybody. You know, I kept looking around because I'd walk through the show floor and it'd be like, oh, there's so-and-so there. So, hey, I know. Hey, how you doing? I mean, it was just, it was a very collegial feel to it. A lot of people knowing each other and laughing and having a good time. The booths were fantastic. I agree. The hallway track was fantastic.
Mm. I'd also say, I think, all trade shows, all conventions, all conferences exist to serve a community. Macworld is kind of an interesting, it's a testament to the existing community. So that vibe doesn't come from nowhere. That vibe starts with the kind of the core, the nucleus of the Apple community, which is, you know, the press and podcast community. You guys come, you are ready to do a lot of work. I mean, you guys do hours and hours of video, hours and hours of interview. And that, I think, is a large part of where the vibe emanates from, is how happy that core community is. It's a core community of, you know, maybe a couple of hundred people that really kind of can influence the overall trade show's vibe. And so this year, you know, it just was off the charts. I mean, again, I think we did a lot of things right. You know, serendipitously, there were a lot of really good products. I mean, we can't really control what people are going to announce at the show, but the people, the exhibitors who were there showing products were really engaged, a lot of cool things. I think that new program that we did, that Six About to Break, that highlighted those six programs, those six applications, products that were competing to be, you know, Six About to Break, that added a lot because they were really unique additions to the show floor. And then we did the things we do control is we're pretty careful about who we choose to speak in the panels and what sessions go on. But I think we did a really good job on that this year. That, you know, the reviews, the surveys are off the chart, the satisfaction with what happened in the conference.
Oh, good. I would say you're not that piggy because me and Wheatley got to speak. So,
I want to comment on that a little bit because that's something I've talked to a lot of people about, especially a lot of the people who said, you know, I talked to who said they didn't go to Macworld this year, is the diversity of sessions that were there and the diversity of things that were going on during the show, in and around the show. I know, Paul, that's something that you and your team have been working on over the years. And I think that was great this year. I really felt there was like something for everyone. So, you know, if you wanted to go for the podcasting stuff, there was a ton of that. The show floor was really diverse in terms of the types of vendors that were there. And then just the sessions, you know, if you were into photography, or you into art, or you're in, you know, whatever your interests were, there was going to be something there for you. So, you know, we have this kind of core community, but there's also a lot of little interests within that community. And I really think you guys are doing a great job serving all those interests. So,
well, I appreciate that. I don't appreciate a lot of people said
you really need to go look at the sessions next year and see, because there's probably going to be something for you. There's definitely going to be something for you there.
Go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
I was going to say, I appreciate the feedback and, you know, the kind words. We always work really hard at the conferences. I mean, I think that's Macworld, iWorld is a very content rich environment. There's a lot of stuff to do. Whereas a lot of events, you know, there's just a trade show, there's just a conference. We always try to seed things. So that there's an Appaloosa area that we purposely built an area for app developers, I think was kind of intelligent design. That we put two floors on the show floor stage, the Macworld Live stick, that we did the iBeacon scavenger hunt contest. All of these things are the things that we as show management do to shape the environment. But I'll go back to my original thought. That happiness this year, that comes from... it's a testament that the community really wants Macworld to thrive, really enjoys what Macworld. I always say in a world where we're virtually connected for most of the year, that opportunity to get face-to-face gets ever more powerful. It kind of amplifies these relationships that we make virtually.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to talk to Paul talking about always improving every year, because, and this might embarrass him to be so nice about him and everything, but I was approached by a guy named Kevin Chow, who is who's blind. He was really, really frustrated because it took him over an hour to find the room that I was speaking in. So he missed almost my entire speech. And he had connected up with the operations person that works for Paul on the show. And the next day when I talked to him, he said they fixed everything so that I can now find my way around. I have no idea what they did in the background to cause that so quickly, but instant improvement when there was something wrong.
I'm really fortunate to have a team of event professionals who work. And remember, IDG World Expo, we do a lot of events. I happen to run the Macworld one. And the team that works for me, we all work on a few other events, but they're event people. And they, at their core, to be a good event person, you got to be a good host. You got to want the people who are your guests to enjoy what you've spent a whole year trying to build for them. So it doesn't surprise me. I love hearing it, but it doesn't surprise me that my team would jump on this. I mean, if we had one kind of ding against us, we tried a new security firm this year that was a little heavy handed and they didn't get the memo that that these people are our guests. And so, that would be a change that we would make whenever we hear the opposite side of things. So to be fair, we did a lot of things right. But, there are always things that can be improved. There's always moving targets. There's different vendors that come involved every year. But I'm glad Kevin got to get to your session or got to, meet up with you and enjoy the rest of the event. Did he make it to your session eventually?
I think he saw like the last 15 minutes.
All right. Well, that's not good. So we'll basically make sure that Kevin has a good experience next year, knowing what we know now. So thanks for saying that. But that's what we're there to do, is to just make everybody have a good time.
I mean, I know what I think is a newbie, but I mean, Paul, you were also a newbie. So, what was your immediate impressions of it all?
I think my immediate impressions were how nice it was, how me and you were embraced by certain parties, maybe on this panel, or not so as the case may be. I think that was the bit that kind of hit me, was the we arrived and it was just everybody was friends. And, I at no point did I feel like the noob. At no point did I feel like we were sort of an outside circle or something like that. We were welcomed in with open arms, and it was fantastic. I loved it. I went there with no one, just Ewan and kind of Adam, and I came away with 50 brand new best friends. I think that was the main thing for me, was just how we were welcomed in. It was amazing.
Mm.
That's really good to hear.
Well, that vibe's got to continue. I mean, that was I've worked around famous people a lot, taking pictures for a long time, and I've never, ever been starstruck, not once. And I got to Macworld, and I was starstruck. I was talking to people that were like, but you're Ken Ray. And then, Ken, you were kind enough, Ken, to come up at the end of the Mac show that we did live on stage and give us some really nice compliments, pal. I was a bit dumbstruck at that point. You know, it's like...
I have no idea what to say to that. That's just crazy.
No, it's great. It was cool.
You've got six heads on that, well, five, and the Skype drawing, but you've got a bunch. I mean, you're doing the same thing that we're doing, so I don't understand. But thank you. I mean, that's really nice of you to say. I will say, I mean, just to pile on with what everybody else has said, the group there is, it really is kind of stunning. And to be honest, I mean, and maybe this speaks to, I don't know, Paul seems to be embarrassed that we're, complimenting him so much, so maybe I won't do that this time. But, I mean, it speaks to, I guess, the kind of setting that they're able to facilitate in doing that. So I am complimenting Paul anyway. I mean, there's also just the ferocity of the people that keep showing up every year. And you have every level of conversation, which is really kind of fascinating. You were not the only people that I talked to this year who were there for the first time. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, and I feel terrible about that, but I met him on the fourth day. We stood in the middle of the floor and had a really interesting conversation about, like management at Apple. And it wasn't, well, they should do this or they should do that, but we were just talking about it. And then completely the other way, I had this like 301 level conversation with Ben Beharin, again, just walking the show floor. I mean, it really is just, if you're into Apple, I mean, it really is a geek's paradise. And I would say if you're into technology, it's a geek's paradise, but it's not all, it's not all sysadmin kind of stuff. It's, I mean, the ubiquity of technology means that if you show up to something, a well-run thing like Macworld, it's not like going to a hacker conference or something. If you show up to something like Macworld, like everybody has said, you're going to find something there that's going to be fascinating. I thought the Robert Scoble thing with about the age of context was amazing. But then I showed up wanting a lot of iBeacon stuff. So that and Tim Perfitt were both kind of amazing to me. So
absolutely. You know, a thought about this community. It really, we say it all the time, and it gets to the point where you say it so much, you can almost take it for granted. There is a very, very magical quality to the Apple community, and it goes back a long way. I mean, if you think about that kind of user group genesis of how people used to get together in the spirit of sharing, in the spirit of learning, in the spirit of socializing around technology, Macworld grew up paralleling that. And over time, the community has morphed and changed, and different people have kind of, you know, come to prominence or gotten some notoriety. Macworld's been kind of a constant through those 30 years of things. And but what is constant is how open and welcoming our community is. And so right now, it's actually in a really interesting transition. I mean, not coincidentally, the reason I was all over Gene to bring App Camp for Girls is that the community needs to always be evolving. And there was a while where it was a little bit stagnant when Apple was a little bit stagnant in the middle 90s. But we've really been on a mission, especially the last 4 or 5 years, to incent new audiences to come and find it. And what we do at Macworld iWorld, those three things, the products, the learning, and then the hallway chats, those are going to appeal to a certain type of person who enjoys a certain social nature. And the nice thing is that starting with the genesis of all the people, you know, on this call and extended family of people who I would kind of include in the core, the nucleus of the Apple community, so welcoming, so supportive. So, I mean, you guys do what you do in terms of podcasting. It's about providing this incredibly valuable service to help people get more enjoyment out of their Apple products. It's the same mission that Macworld has. And so, you know, there's this nice synergy, but the credit, we do a lot of things right, and I think I have a great team. The show exists because of that magic, serendipitous value that a very welcoming, open, dare I say loving community presents to people who enjoy Apple products.
I love you, man.
No,
I love you, man.
Without getting too dewy-eyed and weepy and everyone wanting to hug, I got to say, I felt quite loved. It was cool.
Yeah, but apart from the fact that I went to shake hands with everybody and that seemed to be the worst thing ever. It was, as being very British, hugging just isn't something that happens. I kind of got used to the hugging thing by the end, but to begin with, I found that a little bit uncomfortable. It was in a nice, comfortable way, in a sort of a pleasant, comfortable, uncomfortable way.
By the way, I think you have a strategy if you don't want to get sick at a conference. I happen to have a cold when I was there. And so as people would reach out to shake hands, I would offer them my elbow and say, I'm sorry, I have a cold. And first of all, people reacted like I told them I had the bubonic plague, which I find hilarious.
You are such an innovator, Allison.
But if you don't want people to shake hands with you, tell them you already have a cold. It works. Well, they're just like, oh, okay. And they offer you the elbow and they're all happy about it.
Well, there used to be quite a few threads about something called the Macworld crud. You know, people who got horribly sick on the days after Macworld because of the, you know, we're all in such a tight, confined place for a week. So that used to be a thing. It's a little bit less now. Maybe we're taking better care of ourselves. I don't know. But definitely.
Or I used my elbows this time.
Or at least your elbow is, right.
I deliberately saved up my chest infection and brought it with me because I didn't want to feel left out.
Generously done.
If there was a communal infection, I wanted it to be mine this year.
It actually could be the fact that it's so much later in the year and people aren't going straight from CES to Macworld or vice versa.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. God bless you for moving it. I don't know why you did it, but that just made me so happy having it in March.
Well, we wouldn't have been.
Let me just answer that question because I get asked all the time. Here's the deal. As you might have heard, San Francisco is quite a popular convention city.
Yeah.
Probably the second or third most popular convention city in the world. There's not like a million dates. Like when we said we wanted to move Macworld originally from that first week of January and then a little bit later into January, there's not a lot of choices. All we knew, you know, and in fact, usually every year there's about one choice. And so again, good fortune for us, but there was an opening that happened to happen this year and next year that are in March. And it just worked out to our advantage. It's not like we can just call up the city of San Francisco and say, we'll take the second week of February. Because it's booked. San Francisco is booked year round. So as we moved from that traditional first week of January slot, we've been, you know, every year kind of playing a little bit of a game of roulette with the Moscone Center as to what weeks are available. And so it's as simple as that. It's not intelligent design. It's more like, hey, San Francisco, what do you got for us this year? And then this year it happened to work out that it was so late. Some people had a hard time with it because it was a spring break week. Not so much on the West Coast as on the East Coast. But I think our dates next year, the March 12th through 14th, are pretty good dates.
Yeah, I mean, we would have struggled to have got out there, I think, this year.
I think so.
If it had been earlier. Definitely. The timing was perfect for us.
Can I ask why that is? Because actually, one thing that I wanted to comment about this year's show that was what I thought was really great, both on the vendor side and also just on the people that I was seeing there, was it seemed a lot more international. And I don't know if that's our community or what's going on there. You know, maybe it's some of that podcast influence, because I'm hearing more voices and seeing more people internationally on the podcast side of things as well in our community. But I thought that was great this year. You know, I talked to vendors from the UK, the Ukraine, France. I mean, there were people from everywhere, and I don't remember doing that. And I do a lot of interviews every year. So,
well, one characteristic about the show floor that's really interesting is there's not as many large companies that come. You know, Macworld is not as useful to someone like Google. Google can hold their own event now, and that's really a trend that we've seen. The biggest of the companies. You know, Adobe has Adobe Max. And so a lot of the companies prefer to control their own message, control their own environment, and do their own event. But where Macworld has gotten really interesting, and this is one of the morphs, this is one of the changes over the last couple of years, it is a particularly valuable and unique opportunity for companies and products coming to market. So if you are a developer in France or the Ukraine, we had eight developers from the Ukraine this year, and you want to come to one place where there's a critical mass of media. We have about 500 media from around the world. B, you're in the center of probably the most educated Apple buying community in the world, in the San Francisco Bay Area. So if you're bringing a product to market, you want to know what the public thinks about it, the international public thinks about it. This is a pretty discerning audience for you to get in front of. We're also in the middle of the venture capital community. So a lot of these companies are coming to the Bay Area, and this is a great opportunity for them to show what they have and potentially attract partners or finance or input or revenue. So I think it's a unique opportunity. This is the new Macworld. Innovative new companies coming to the show. It's less about gigantic companies giving away free T-shirts. And one of the things that I think contributes to the vibe that you guys are all sharing with me about it is the type of people who go to Macworld now, either they don't have as much perspective about what Macworld was like 10, 15 years ago, and they see the show for what it is, not for what it was or what it might be or what it could be. All they know is there's 200 odd, really interesting companies for me to go through, and that's going to take me a while. And they do the show a lot more in depth. I think what's gone are the type of attendees who only wanted to walk the show floor, looking for free tchotchkes. I mean, there's still some of that, but it's a much more intelligent show now. And these small booths, you see that a lot of them get really overwhelmed. It's with people asking really in-depth questions, really getting into know the features. The Appaloosa area, a lot of those little app developers were totally overrun from the moment the show floor opened to the moment the show floor ended. The attendees are a lot more discerning. You guys in the media are a lot more discerning now. It's about what is here and what can I report on. I mean, a lot of you guys did, 40, 50 segments from the show, taking the 40, 50 most interesting developers that were there and reporting on it. So to get back to the original thought, a lot of people come internationally because it's critical mass of the Apple community to bring their company to market, to bring their product to market.
One of the things I wanted to say, Paul, which I think is important, is that people go on about it, Macworld's now about the community. I don't think it is. Macworld is still a product show. There is no question of that. The community, the expo is the totem pole that people gather around, and that's where the community evolves from. But the show's still about the show. It's still about moving apps, moving products. And I think
I would agree. I would say it this way. The products are always the star of the show. I mean, without cool products, there's nothing to come and see. I mean, even if we did just a conference, it would be a very different environment. But the developers are still, the heros of the show. You talked about reverence for Ken Ray. I'll talk about reverence for John Chafee at Busy, Busy Mac, right? So, those developers who bring cool to our world, they're really the superstars of our world. And that reverence is very healthy. and it's fostered and it's nurtured. And that's a large reason why people come to the show.
We had, I mean, the thing that it's yes, it's about football through the door, but also, I mean, there was enough people there. We did a live floor walk, and we had 200 people watching us. We had 50 people in the chat room asking us questions and telling us where they wanted us to go at the show. We had exhibitors chasing us and saying, no, you've got to come and talk to us now. Come and talk to us now. And there was some woman in a blue shirt, and she just would not leave us alone. We had to go over and talk to her. And she showed a product for Paul. Yeah, I did. Sex muffin like yourself, mate. We had people chasing us to go out, and there's the exposure. Our three-hour floor walk has been chopped up into one-hour podcast that's been pushed out, and each of those has had 35 to 40,000 people look at them. So there's your product out there. And I think the other thing that was really cool for me, you had that section for hardware that was like snake oil salesmen. You know, they popped up the table and dropped their product on it and then showed it out to everyone. And I don't mean that negatively. I mean that in a positive way. But right next to that was Oloclip. So you got all these little Kickstarters that are just starting out next to Oloclip that was a Kickstarter and has got a 20-foot stand there. And that was, I thought that was a really nice thing. Whether it was designed or not, it was kind of like, you know, here's what you could be, which gave them a load of stuff. App Camp for Girls, let's go back to that, because, Jean, you had a rare old show, didn't you?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
You had a rare old show.
What you actually did.
Yes, that's a good idea, Allison. So we had a two-hour session in the Macworld conference where so Paul's idea last year came to me and said, hey, you know, would you bring App Camp to Girls to Macworld? And I'm like, I don't know if we can bring a whole camp. I started thinking of like, well, could we get 100 MacBook Pros and we need like 40 developers to help the girls? No, that's not going to work. But we could at least in a 2-hour session give an overview of what we do in camp and show girls and parents and the interested Mac community what our approach is and what you come out of App Camp with, which is our goal is that girls come out with new enthusiasm and appreciation for software development, that they want to learn how to code and that they want to come up with app ideas. And so even in this 2-hour session at Macworld, we did a little bit of show and tell and then some hands-on work with about 30 girls. I was so excited. I didn't do some of the obvious things you're supposed to do, like count how many people are there, or maybe, get their contact information for future use. It was just, it bowled us over how exciting it was, how many people wanted to participate. And anyway, the girls got to go through what we do at App Camp in terms of brainstorming app ideas and refining them, learning a bit about UI and app icon design. And then we did have a panel of women investors and entrepreneurs who at the end gave the girls, we picked as many as we could get done in the time that we had, girls gave a pitch to these, this panel of women about their app ideas and got feedback for it. And
that blew
the
me
ideas
away.
Were incredible and the feedback was incredible. So that's what we did at Macworld.
That one session, Jean, blew me away. I mean, you got three hard-nosed businessmen in there giving seriously, it was complimentary, but there was some tough questions in there.
Yes, and, I know.
I mean, those girls.
I'd have a hard time answering that question.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys know this, but one of the venture capitalists that Jean had on her panel, Anne Winblad, is one of the most famous venture capitalists in the Bay Area. I mean, you're talking about the star power that she brings alone, and the background of the companies that she's brought to market was just stunning. I was sitting in the back of the room with a lot of the parents, and that was really interesting. They were so beamingly engaged in terms of what was taking place there. Not only, you know, they were projecting, you know, retiring on their child's, you know, millions of dollars from app development, but just just the healthy nature of the environment. I'll go back to the beginning. I've known Jean for many years, and Jean was most known for taking a small company, a great developer company in Smile, and really using her marketing talents to foster community. So when Jean announces that she's going to start something called AppCamp for Girls, anyone who knew her is like, this is going to be a tremendous success because her marketing skills, her mentoring skills, all these types of things, this is a no-brainer. And so when I heard about it, I really wanted to have that be a part of Macworld. And as I've said in many interviews, to be part of the bringing the next generation of Macworld exhibitors to market. But it was a great, I'll tell you how cool it was. People saw Jean on the news that morning. So a news crew was out and Jean did a television interview. And I had three parents coming down the escalator. I just, with their kid in tow, I just saw this on the news and I had to get down here. And people just came just from hearing about it.
Yeah, that was pretty, that was really amazing as well. And I think that, I mean, the girls were so excited. I was worried that they might feel too much pressure, like to present an idea that they just had for like 30 minutes to work on for 30 minutes to some very impressive strangers up on the stage in front of, you know, who knows how many adults plus other girls. But they were really into it. And just their the smiles on their faces and the excitement that they had about, you know, just thinking about developing apps, because we didn't really get into anything very technical that they would do. But I think that's that just gave the whole team a huge boost, you know, just mentally that, yes, this is even when we do it for 2 hours, we can see, you know, the results of this idea.
I know, Jean, you talk about giving the team a boost. Steve and I had a chance to talk to Kelly after the class, and her enthusiasm was off the charts. And she was just like, we did this, it was amazing. And it was really fun. So if you're ever wondering whether it's worth the energy to work on something like this, you could see it definitely that she was, she got a lot out of it. It wasn't just work for her.
No, it's not. I don't think it's work for her or really any of us. But Kelly, you know, we don't really have any titles at camp, but when I refer to Kelly as our head cheerleader, because
she did a good job.
She sure is. But yeah, and actually bringing up Kelly, I wanted to bring up the whole, you know, this fits in with the idea of the Macworld community. We didn't know what was going to happen. You know, maybe like five people were going to show up. Like we just, you know, never tried to do anything like this before. And I don't think Macworld's ever tried to have like a bunch of kids come in, you know, for a session like we did. And, but I thought it could be, you know, 10 girls, it could be 100 girls. So there was myself and Natalie Osten, who is our lead developer, and Kelly. We came down from Portland, but I was pretty sure also Krista Mergen from Rogue Amoeba, who is our, you know, lead designer and did the app icon presentation. So there was four of us coming down from Portland who were, you know, coming to Macworld. And then there's Maya, who lives in the Bay Area. And there, Kirshen, your buddy, Allison, Kirshen Save from Free Range Coder. She helped us out last year with the Kickstarter. So I asked her if she would mind coming and lending a hand. But then I realized there's got to be more people. There's going to be traffic, how many people are going to be there. And we have worksheets to hand out and we have releases to sign and we have iPods to show people. So David Sparks' whole family just volunteered to help me out. So they were there at Macworld, both his daughters and his wife. And then our buddies from Sonoma, from the Mac Computer Expo, Lorene, Ronnie, and Amanda, they said, we're coming to your session. And I said, maybe you could come early, and would you mind helping us out? So we probably had like 20 people helping out, making that thing work. And it was all because the community is there, and people say, yeah, sure, I'll help you out. No problem. So yay for our community. I was really, really just touched by the willingness to just pitch in and make it happen, because it really was great.
Now, I gather you've opened up a bit of a Pandora's box for yourself here, Jean, as well, haven't you? Because would it be fair to say you're a touch oversubscribed?
oversubscribed with campers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
just a little.
Yes, we are. And that's just the nature of I'm trying to not freak out about it too much, because the fact is we're trying to do something which is not easy in terms of the available personnel, and that is to have a computer camp with only women as the instructors. And then we've just gotten started. So we can't grow the camp like exponentially every year, because we're at least in the beginning, we're working out what the curriculum is and what kind of qualifications you have to have in order to be a counselor at camp. I mean, and I originally envisioned the camp, I thought we'd have women developers, more women developers teaching the girls how to make the apps. But it turns out that having at least one developer like Nat, and then having women like Kelly and Maya, and some of the other counselors we've had who are software savvy, but not developers themselves, we can teach women how to teach Xcode enough so that they can help the girls for 1 week to make an app. So, you know, but that's time consuming. And, you know, as I think I've said to you, Ewan, and pretty much anybody who will listen, volunteers, the volunteers numbers are the gating factor for us right now. And it's not because there aren't a lot of people who want to help, but they're for the specific kind of thing that we're doing, we need women who are relatively, you know, computer software savvy and have a whole week off in the summer that they want to devote to app camp. So,
well, that was going to be my small group. my next question was going to be, what can people who are listening to this podcast help you with? What appeal can you make that you would like them to come forward, and where can they get to contact you?
Sure. I think our number one appeal right now is for women who want to organize a camp in their location. So we have a lot of people who want to help out in other cities, but we need somebody who is in charge of that city and will do, you know, the majority of the work of actually getting it organized with our help. So if you think you want to have an app camp in your city, and you are interested in becoming a local organizer, you can email us. I'm just Jean at appcampforgirls.com, and the four is the number four. But that's also on the website. There's also a form on the website. You can just fill that out if you want to express your interest in volunteering. The second thing is to have more women programmers, or, you know, maybe aspiring programmers who would like to volunteer to be counselors. And then I can match up. So say somebody in Chicago says, you know what, we can put on App Camp here. We have the following resources and experience. And then I can say, well, look, here's these 10 women from Chicago who have gotten in touch with us over the last year who are interested in helping out in Chicago. Put you guys together, figure out your plan, and we will, you know, provide the curriculum. We'll help you figure out how to get the equipment and the space. And, you know, it all depends on how many more camps we do in 2015. But
I think it might be quite a lot. I'm just guessing. I think it might be quite a lot.
Well, I hope so, because it's pretty heartbreaking to see how many girls want to do this, and we don't have anywhere near enough spots for them all.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with Jean, then go to appcamp4girls.com, four being the number four, and then /volunteer is where you go to get involved, and you'll get the email address from there. But definitely do it. And if you're a lady developer or lady tech savvy, computer literate person who'd like to get involved and help, then I can't think of a better way of spending 1 week in the summer. It would be absolutely brilliant. Those girls they blew me away. We only saw the last half of the session, unfortunately, because it coincided with Paul's talk.
The app ideas were amazing.
They were.
I wanted like all of those apps. I would have bought them right there if they existed on the App Store. There were some great ideas in that room.
Excellent.
And there was I feel like I'm going to have to start having people sign NDAs in addition to media releases.
Yeah, I know. So they don't get their ideas stolen.
Yeah. The evolution of a great idea. That was brilliant. Now, we said it was about the products, so let's go through each one, and let's, not each product, let's go through each person, because there was a few too many. But what was your kind of the standout product? What was the standout service, the standout app, the best in show for you? Ken, starts off. Have you got one?
I would say I have a couple. There were two things that in particular, well, three, I'm sorry. There were two things at... Six About to Break that really appealed to me, and sadly they seem to be the one that got the lowest votes, but they also seem to want to be the ones that were the most readily applicable. There was a thing called EveryPost, which is this app that lets you put all of your social network ties into one app, and then you can just message out from there. But rather than being one that just blasts the same message to everything, because I had friends who were doing that, just blasting the same thing to all of their different platforms, and I ended up not reading any of them because it was always the same thing and it got boring. It lets you sort of switch between them and customize the message before it goes out. So if you've got one central idea, I'm standing here at Macworld, right? And you want to send that out. But, you know, for LinkedIn, you want to say, I'm standing here at Macworld and I just met this guy who's doing this thing. You know, you want to do a different message for each different one. You can flip through the different platforms and customize the message. I thought that was kind of cool. And I also like the fact that it was actually out and ready to go. The guys from AppPressor, they were the ones that were doing the application that basically let you take a WordPress page and turn it into a native application. There were some people, I think, on the panel especially, who were like, well, not every web page needs its own app. And that's absolutely true. But for people who have a WordPress app and who do think that they need an application, here's this easy thing. So that was really...
Sorry, it's Adam.
That was really cool as well. Hello?
Yeah, he's back. He's all right. It's Adam.
Oh, okay, excellent. And then the one, honestly, that most impressed me, although they're sort of... They're in a bit of a transition, I think, right now, was somebody in the Appaloosa area called Cactus. And they are trying to do a sort of social networking music thing. So we've got this really beautiful player, which is the Cactus app. And it's great for all of the stuff that's on your phone right now, right? All the stuff that you already have. You play it, you sort of share that publicly, not necessarily with you. I mean, you share with your friends. So if Adam and I are friends on Cactus, then I can see what Adam is playing specifically and vice versa. Otherwise, I just sort of go to the neighborhood where I am because it does the whole location thing, and I can see what other people around me are playing. The only problem I have with it right now, but this is something that they're working on, I do most of my music listening through Spotify. Even if it's music that I own, I'm still listening through Spotify because I'm listening to a lot of stuff that I don't own there. They are going to tie Spotify in, at which point Cactus will probably end up being my app for listening to stuff. Because I like that whole social aspect of it. The reason I joined Spotify was because I could follow my Facebook friends because I like finding out what other people are listening to.
It's free app as well.
So,
isn't it?
Say again?
Free app as well.
Free app, yeah. Free app, and you don't have to sign in with Facebook or Twitter. It's kind of funny because they had just launched about a week or two before. Their very first show, talk about In at the Deep End, their very first show was South by Southwest.
Ugh.
And they came and it was you can sign in and find all your friends because it's with Facebook or with Twitter. And the developer, Dane, told me the very first thing that everybody said to him was, get rid of the Facebook sign in.
Yeah.
So and that's weird because it's a social app, but we're gonna take out the easiest way to get in touch with all those people socially. But now it's just, sign up. So anybody who signs up now, by the way, you get whatever name you want because they really are just starting out. So I'm Ken because, there's one so far and I'm it. So, now's your chance. People with names like, well, Paul and Paul, you guys are going to have to fight when this is over. But
Paul, what did you have? Paul Wheatley. What did you think was coolest?
So our the ones that we were kind of looking at are probably being covered in our live stream, but I think the one that kind of stood out for me was the Henge dock, which was the vertical dock, which isn't actually out yet. I think it's out this summer or something. But essentially what it was a dock for your MacBook that when you laid your MacBook in, it actually engaged all of the ports. So sort of a little mechanical thing kind of came in from the outside, from the exterior, and kind of went into all the ports in your MacBook, which then gave you all those ports kind of running across the back to give you a lot more than you might normally have access to. So there was like multiple USB, Ethernet. There was also the ability to put a Kensington lock on there if you're missing out on it because it's in your MacBook. And then power and all that kind of stuff as well. That was really cool for me. The downside to that, I have to say, was the price tag. I can understand why it's quite expensive. But the biggest thing that I had a problem with the price tag was if you're wanting to upgrade your MacBook every couple of years, you're going to have to upgrade this dock as well. I can completely understand why it's that way. It's just it was a bit of a shame. So that was kind of the big thing for me. And I suppose a bit of a shout as well to the iSkelter, which is the sort of a bamboo desk.
Oh yeah, bugger.
For kind of sitting on the couch using. I've been using that quite a bit since we got back, and I really really liking it as well. It's pretty cool.
Mine arrived this morning.
Right.
And I've got to say, that was one of my picks as well. I really enjoyed that. It was absolutely fantastic. They do a ton of products. They do a full desk as well, which I'm gonna have to try and get one of those, definitely.
Yeah, my wife was using it. She was really enjoying it, but her biggest complaint was you can't fit a notepad on it as well. And I was like, well, you know, if you want to have your laptop, a mouse, your iPad, and a notepad, go to a desk.
Exactly. Exactly. No question. Paul Kent, anything for you that stood out as being like the must have, or did you see none of it?
No, I saw all of it. And I think the thing that was really cool was, did you see Logbar had a product called The Ring?
Oh, yeah.
So that was spectacular. So The Ring is a device. It's a ring, and you actually can control input on your Mac or your iOS device. Excuse me, it's for your iOS device. It's very, very Tony Stark-ish. It's very cool. So basically, you put the ring on, you can draw in the air, you can, you know, control cursors in the air by using this ring. And I thought there was a lot of buzz about that product, and it blew right through its Kickstarter funding goal. So that was hopefully we had a little bit to do with that. So I thought that was really cool. Did you see that pedal power generator? If you need to be off, if you don't have power, a company called KTOR had a pedal powered or a crank powered generator for charging your iOS devices. I thought that was pretty cool. That app Hider 2 by MacPaw, which yes. With the press of a button, you can move your files and folders from the Finder into Hider 2 Secure Vault, which is, you know, incredibly encrypted and very, so there were all sorts of things, hardware, software, utilities, accessories. There were so many, but the ring and Hider and all of the Six About to Break, the glyph was fantastic. I thought that was remarkable as well.
Yeah, they upgraded the glyph quite a bit, hadn't they? We've actually got a giveaway, thanks to MacPaw, in May. So if you're a part of our Patreon fund, then you'll be eligible to win the Hider 2s in there, as well as Clean My Mac as well. So
excellent.
They're brilliant. We love them. Good picks. Alison, what was it that stole it for you then, mate?
Well, what I think is funny or interesting here is Steve and I went methodically up and down every single aisle. We did a ton of video interviews. We've been posting them like crazy. And you guys have all described things that I didn't see.
Oh, right. So,
but that tells you how much is there, right? I mean, we went to tons and tons of booths. So I think that's really cool. I was going to talk about Hider 2, but Paul already took that one. That definitely did look cool. I actually, the Skiva Octofire. It's this device. It was only like $55 if you bought it at the shows, maybe 80, something like that afterwards. It's an octagon that has 8 ports that can actually charge 8 iPads at the same time, or, you know, devices requiring that much power. So I just picture this thing sitting on the table when the whole family's over, everybody's plugged in and we're not fighting over the chargers. So that looked like fun. I was also interested in Tidy Up. I got a copy of it. I haven't used it yet. The idea is it's a file duplication tool, and it'll actually go inside your Aputure and iPhoto libraries and find duplicate photos and that sort of thing. So I think that's going to be really cool. Another thing, I'd interviewed Cloak last year, interviewed him again this year. They do a VPN service, and the problem with VPN services for me is I only need them a couple of weeks out of the year. I don't want to be paying somebody every month for, you know, a year, and then I need it for this 15 minutes. They have a weekly fee or a monthly fee you can pay. And it's really cheap. I want to say it was like $4 for a week. You can have a VPN. Now, I've built my own VPN server at home, but you know, with this big problem on the internet this week, what was it, Heartbleed? I actually had to go through and do everything a sysadmin had to do. I had to find out which version of SSL I was running. I had to issue new certificates, upgrade my SSL. It was a big fat pain in the butt. So $4 for a week of Cloak, you can't beat that. No, so I think that's probably enough. You said one, right?
Yeah, I said one, but everyone's done like 10, so that's fine. Just... Well, it's only my show.
Oh, Steve wanted me to do his.
Oh,
his
Steve pick. Wants to do one too. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Go on then, Steve. Go on.
His pick was WeCam Chat because the guy that I did the interview with was in a monkey suit and I was wearing a pimp hat during the video interview. So that's why he really wanted to show WeCam's chat. It's a video chat service that works cross-platform and cross-social networks. So you can do like Facebook over to Google Chat, Google Talk, that kind of thing between an Android and an iPhone. That looked pretty fun. Plus, the guy was wearing a monkey suit, too.
Not bad. Adam, what was yours?
I'm going to stick to just one, believe it or not, and play by the rules.
Oh, good.
No, I had to rub that in. Actually, I'm going to pick an app that I've been picking everywhere because it was something I didn't find until the fourth day. It was over in Appaloosa. And it has a great story behind it with this developer. It's a camera app. And, you know, as I was walking through there, I had probably passed by it because, you know, there's so many camera apps out there. And I thought, well, what could be new here? And finally went over, talked to the guy. And what it was is it's an app called Flashback. And it's flashback.me is the website. I think it's $1.99. The unique thing here, though, is so you take your pictures like you normally would with the app and they go into your camera roll. But every time you snap a picture, it also snaps 5 seconds of video and stores that as well. And the reason I wish I had seen it when I first came to the show was what you can do with it is at the end of the day, so say you're on vacation or you're at Macworld, like I was at Macworld taking photos of all the booths and what's going on. At the end of the day, you can go in, take those videos and create a little montage. So it has an editor in there. You can do all kinds of effects. You can put in background music, and then you can share that out on social media networks. So Facebook or YouTube, Tumblr, Facebook, all those sorts of things. And so you have this sort of nice video montage summary of all the things that you were shooting photos of throughout the day. And sort of the backstory this guy said was that he and his wife developed the app, and the idea came from their wedding. They got married and the photographer had just set up a camera, a video camera, and just let it run as he was shooting photos. And so they had this great photo of him being lifted up.
Well, thank God for that, because that was going on forever.
All the way up. Oh. Up in the air.
You got cut off. You got cut off. I'm joking. Go ahead. Yeah, say again. Don't start at the beginning. We were okay up to the video was running at the wedding.
Oh, okay. The video was running at the wedding. They had this great still of him being lifted up on the chair by the bridesmaids. But he said, really, what the funniest part was them trying to get him up on the chair. And that was on the video. So they had all that stuff.
Cool.
So
what's the app called?
Great
again,
app,
Adam?
$1.99. And I've received, since talking about this, I've received an email from the developer. And this goes back to the community thing we were talking about. And he said, thank you so much for, you know, covering this. We saw a nice uptick in our sales since we did our interview. So that's really what it's all about for me.
What's the app called again, Adam?
It's called Flashback. Flashback.me, the website.
Good one. $2 is fantastic as well. Nothing.
It's £1.50 in the UK.
Yeah, there we go. Brilliant.
Sorry about my connection. I don't know what's going on.
Well, no, it's more than happily our end, potentially. I mean, we've never had this much before. So now, Gina, I don't know if you had a favourite thing from the show, but the way I saw you at Camp for Girls on Saturday, you looked like you hadn't even slept since you'd arrived there. You were all over the place getting stuff arranged.
Oh, she still looked lovely.
She did. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you'd been doing an awful lot to that point. Did you get to see much?
I didn't. It was weird because I'm used to spending a lot more time on the show floor and hanging out with people a lot more. You know, even when
we didn't even see a booth. Gina.
At Smile, I felt like I had more conversations than this past year. But it was, we did have meetings, various meetings in at Macworld and nearby on future AppCamp projects. But I did get to walk around a bit, and the thing that caught my eye was a app called Facetune. The developers, really nice young indie developers from Israel. And
they were the ones that chased us.
It's basically, yeah. It you take a, when you take a portrait, you know, of somebody's face, yours included, it has all the kind of fixes that you might want to go into Photoshop for. So it makes you really, makes it really easy to whiten somebody's teeth, for example, you know, to just smooth out the blotchiness of their skin or something like that. And I think, I just thought it was pretty clever because it's obviously it's one, a kind of a one trick pony, but that's an important trick. Especially if you're taking pictures of people and you want to post them right away on Facebook or something, you know, I like to make people look as good as they can, you know, without obviously like altering them in a major way. And this makes it easy to just like fix up, you know, whatever didn't come out great from your photo. And I think I was also drawn to them because I know the feeling of being the new kid on the block with your little, you know, kiosk or booth at Macworld. And you don't know everybody and everybody doesn't know you, because that's certainly how I felt in 2004, the first time I went to Macworld with Smile. And ironically, we were in the Moscone North then. We were in, you know, that was when it was North and South Hall. And I had no clue where I was all week. That I was like, I'd come out of there.
I remember running up to Jean McDonald. I remember running up to the booth and saying, "It's Jean McDonald."
Nobody, not a single person.
No, I did.
I don't think. No,
I did. What's that? Remember, I came running up to you. I was so excited to actually meet the Jean McDonald in person.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Might have been 2005.
I totally remember that, and that was like 2007. But 2004, I was just doing it on a lark because Philip asked me to, and that's when I, you know, really did fall in love with Macworld and thought this would be pretty fun job to have, you know, on a regular basis. And the people are very cool, and everything that you guys who are new noticed, it was that way back then as well, that a lot of, a really interesting mix of people, ages, you know, interests, even in, back then.
It was good.
Can I make one more case for why people should go to Macworld? Forgive me. This is kind of random.
I'm sure Paul won't mind.
Not a problem.
So in 2005, I was involved with this show that was all about smartphones. And, well, not even smartphones, really. It was about using your phone to take pictures, right? Because that was this really neat thing. And not every phone was a camera phone at that time. And on the show, they were interviewing this teenage pop star who said, I really wish, you know, the host of the show, you know, said, what is the one thing that your phone can't do that you really wish it could? And she said, you know, sometimes you get a bad picture. I wish you could get Photoshop on a phone. And we all laughed because you were never going to get Photoshop on a phone. And what's insane is we are now to a place where two guys, or I don't know if they were guys, forgive me, but the two people from Facetune have written an app that basically, well, you don't need, you know, Photoshop. Sure, you can get Photoshop on a phone, but we'll just do this other thing where you can just hit a button and it'll take care of all this stuff. I mean, just the level of things that we can do now, or that people can do now. I say we, I'm not a developer. The level of things that people can do now, and it's like, it's small numbers of people are showing up with things that really are just, I mean, staggering if you think about it, especially in perspective. And the fact that you get to walk around this whole floor of people doing that is kind of stunning.
It is. It's excellent. Paul, just to cut in, you've got to bug out for a conference or something, a call. What's the dates next year for Macworld?
March 12th through 14th. And stay tuned. We've got a lot of things already that we're planning for next year. We've started already in on the organization of next year's show, and a lot more innovations for people and a lot more exhibitors. So I think it'll be a fun show. The vibe that we did this year just really energizes our whole team to get right back at it and do it even better next year.
It was a brilliant time, mate. And I got to say, thank you so much from just my viewpoint. I really
completely
enjoy it,
and I will completely our privilege and pleasure.
I will be back every year.
Look forward to it.
And okay, if the kids go hungry, it's fine. Cheers, Paul. Take care, mate.
Take care. Thank you for coming on.
I wanted to ask a question. I heard Paul and Ewan both talking about some developers chasing them down. We've never seen that before, and it happened to Steve and me twice. Yeah. Three times. One of the times it turned out to be a stupid product, and that's probably why nobody was in the booth. But the second one was ReFurbMe, which was one of my favorite things I learned about there. It's a site and an app that allows you to track the refurb store on your iPhone. You can set up parameters and say, okay, I want to find a 21-inch iMac less than this price with this much RAM. And the guy literally grabbed my shirt and dragged me into his booth. I'm like, all right, what the heck?
I've had seven.
I had that same experience. What was interesting to me is that is a really great service, and they've been around for 5 years.
Yeah.
How did we not know about this? They need a different
tagline on their sign. It's like, I thought it was a place you sold your Mac.
Yeah.
I did as well. I didn't see them at the show, and until you said that right now, that's what I thought they did.
Yep. And I told the guy, and he's like, okay, well, what should we change our name to? I said, no, your name is fine. Just put something on your sign that says track the Apple refurb store, you know, something like that, that actually tells you what it is.
Yeah. It was great because they got some marketing this year, and they had a pretty big booth. So I think more
booths.
People are going to know about them now. So success to
two. I thought by the first one. And it was the second booth. The second time was when the second booth was when the guy dragged me in. But it's funny, I've never seen that before where I actually got physically dragged in.
No, that's good. It's good. We like that. I'm not saying it. No. My cool thing, and I've got to say this, props to Sennheiser. Thank you ever so much to Sennheiser because they were brilliant. They gave us an absolutely stunning shotgun mic, which we wouldn't have been able to do any of the stuff with. We'd kind of naively gone with something that was cabled and we quickly realized on day one that it was absolutely pointless. We were going to kill someone tripping them over because there were so many people around. But Sennheiser US gave us a fantastic shotgun mic and they gave it us to use for future events as well. So any live stuff that we're going to do, and we're going to be at EGX later in the year and we'll use their microphone there. So please give a shout out if you can on Twitter to @SennheiserUSA and tell them thanks very much for sponsoring and supporting our coverage. It was immense.
Steve just asked for a shotgun mic for his birthday. So what's the model number?
I shall sort it out for you afterwards. I did think I'd got it up, and I thought it was the MKH-418, but I'll check that before I go. And the other people were Iographer. This guy was in the stalls where you just had a little table to present your stuff, and he saw us walking around with our Heath Robinson rig and said, oh, God, you've got to have one of these. I am begging you, have one of these. And we went round with it, and it's basically a complete setup with cold shoes on the top, so you can put microphones on, you can put lights on, the whole shebang, and just stick your iPad Air in or your Retina MacBook, your iPad Mini in the thing, and it was brilliant. And I think it was about $80 for the case, so it wasn't horrific. And there's a whole load of additional lenses that you can put on it as well. And I think Paul would probably agree with me that that was probably. I mean, we spent most of the day looking for that on one of the days.
Yeah.
It was well worth it.
Yeah, we didn't find them till day three, I think, didn't we? Or was it day two?
Yeah, all right, mate.
I can't remember. We certainly were looking for them all day one, and we didn't find them that day.
There's no need to out our incompetence.
I think Taz Goldstein from Handheld Hollywood was walking around with one of those.
Yeah, they were gorgeous. I mean, the little one that we've got for the iPad Mini was fine, and he sent us through an Air version as well to have a play with. So,
you were right, Ken, he was, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty neat thing. I wonder if I should do video, or maybe I shouldn't. See, the thing is, I sort of stealth around the floor and look for stuff that I really want to talk to somebody. I feel terrible every year when I come back and you guys are like, yeah, I talked to 60 people. Remember the year that Tim Chatton interviewed everybody on the floor?
Yeah.
And I usually walk away, like I did one interview this year, but I set up like three or four other interviews and then I, you know, met you guys and you know, sort of got the whole vibe thing going, but... I sat down for one interview this year. Okay. I guess I feel all right about it, but then I hear you guys say, like, yeah, we only talked to 60 people. I'm like, yeah, only 60 people. That's terrible.
My problem is I'm chasing Chuck. Chuck when I grow up.
That's a good idea, actually. That's a great idea, actually. Just follow Chuck.
Oh, no, I don't think that.
I don't think what I'm trying to do is as many as Chuck. I don't know. I'm trying to, I think I did 24, 25, something like that. So
we hit 28 this year. Was our record.
Twitter, and I think he was at, almost thinking he was at a different show, because the amount of stuff that he saw that I didn't even see a sign for their booth, let alone the stuff that he was chatting to them about.
Yeah, no, he did well. Did very well. Stick with us, because we've got a massive competition for you. Massive. Loads and loads of stuff to give away, so stay right there. Just let us say thank you to a couple of sponsors. Firstly, UK2.net. They support us by providing bandwidth for all of the podcasts and storage for it. The server we've got with them, with the bandwidth charge that's against it and the storage requirement that we've got, would cost us over £400 a month. And they give us that free of charge and pick everything up. Thank you very much to them. They've been supporters of us now for 4 years, so huge loyalty. Back when bandwidth cost an absolute frigging fortune. So please look after UK2. Go to our webpage, britishtechnetwork.com, and use the click-through and use the offer codes, because you'll save yourself a fortune in hosting services, web services, e-commerce, that kind of stuff. And the other people are the Network Union. They pick up the charges for the bandwidth or the broadband into the property here to send the video shows out. And they're fantastic. They're an authorised business partner for BT. And if you're a business owner, so you're a small or medium-sized enterprise, or even if you're huge and you've got a massive WAN or something like that, get in touch with these guys, because they've got two core teams that will help you maximise your service with BT. You're still going to be with BT. They're not like a reseller in the sense of you know, they take the contract. You're still paying BT and there's not a penny extra to pay, but you get an extra added layer of support from the Network Union. They know more about it than me. Go and check them out. And if you give them your email address, it's only so that they can contact you. They don't keep it for promotion, and they don't pass it on to anyone else. So check them out. Network Union, absolutely brilliant. Right. What would you say if I said you could win this? Now, I got home off the plane, and my wife looked at my speaker's bag and said, oh, Jesus, not another bag. So I've got to give it away. So you can win my speaker's bag. Here it is. Macworld iWorld. That's the one that all the swag came in this. It was brilliant. But there's plenty more where all that came from. Inside the bag, there will be a whole pile of other stuff. Now, we met up with a guy named Steve, who was brilliant, and he gave us the AnyCase, which goes with any type of phone that you've got whatsoever, and it puts a 3/8 tripod mount on the bottom so you can mount your phone and use it. So I've got one of those. Those are some spares from a set of earphones. I've also got, if you went to the Cultcast party, you got some beer coolers to put your beer in. There's four of those there. There we go. And you get four of those. You also get my speaker's pass, if that means anything to you. I don't know, but there you go. You can ask that to me left out, including the Sennheiser rope as well. You get bodyguards, screen protector for your iPhone or iOS device. You get a 12 South book arc that fits a MacBook Pro Retina. There we go. Get that as well. That's about 70 quid's worth right there. You also get, I'm still diving, there's another thing. You get a lanyard from Apple. You can't get those anywhere else in the world. I went and bought that for you. So you get an Apple lanyard as well. And you get the ticket from the live Cultcast party, which also has Discade license on the back, which is free of charge. So there you go. That's a good one. Animation Photo X CD with fully working versions. You get that too. You also get a copy of Tidy Up, full license on a disc, and that's yours, free of charge. Again, you get my ticket to Cirque du Mac, which I didn't have to give over. There were more Cirque du Mac tickets than there were people at Macworld, it has to be said, though it wasn't that exclusive. This thing is the iSlip light, which goes around your iPad, and you put your hand in it, and it holds it in place. You also get the brand new Glyph that Paul Kent just talked about. That's brilliant. Hold your iPhone on a pad. You get the Micro Square Jellyfish tripod, as well as, and there's still two more to go, you get the Tam O'Shanter that Paul bought for the drinking games. There you go. And if you press it there, it does absolutely nothing. I don't know what it was supposed to do, but there we go. You get a free copy of ESET Cybersecurity. That's in there too. You get a free copy of Trunks. You get a free copy of some other software that's in a green envelope that's not going to show up on a green screen. You get a copy of Airflow from Rogue Amoeba, which we got absolutely inundated with requests to go and interview them from the chat room. They were great. You get a copy of In Drive Savers as well, free of charge. You get a mug from Sales Navigator. That's yours to keep. And you get a Cirque de Mac t-shirt. Now, you can't get one of these t-shirts unless you went to the party, but you'll have one. One Cirque de Mac t-shirt. You also get a Scott E vest cap with a thing for putting your iPhone in the lid. You get a DSLR GorillaPod type thing here that we have as well. That's your... I'm still going. There's still plenty more. Hang on. You get a Docket.com set of earphones that were there. You get a book for iOS developers called Diving into iOS 7. You get a Square Jellyfish iPhone holder. That too. You get a Square Jellyfish iPad mini holder. You get a Trident tough case that means you can drop your iPhone and it won't die. And you get the invite to the Tap launch party and a Red Bull tag. And you get the larger version of the Any case, which fits your iPad. And that's just a bit of Velcro there. And I think that's it. There you go. And you get the bag. All you got to do is be a supporter of British Tech Network. And that means go to patreon.com, patreon.com/British Tech Network, and register your support with us. If you put in $1 a month, you will get one entry in this month's competition. And if you put in $10 a month, you will get 10 entries in this month's competition to win all of this swag. There we go. It's superb. It's dead easy. Just support us. So we provide you with, at the moment, four podcasts. We've got another podcast coming next week called The Help Show. And we've got another one coming a couple of weeks after that. We're doing live coverage of EAX. And if you're saying that you listen to us, then just chuck us something in our hat. Think of us like a busker. 60 pence, that's all we're asking, is a dollar on Patreon. It makes a world of difference to us. We've got a whole pile of aging tech here that needs replacing. Because we've been doing this for a while. So please, please, please support us. There's no advertisers apart from the people that support us on the network. So get to patreon.com/British Tech Network and give us a donation. Sign up on a monthly basis. And every month we will do a really big competition. You've got this one for April, and then we've got another one that's sponsored by MacPaw for May, and so on and so on and so on. The more you donate, the more chances you have to win. It's as simple as that. So... patreon.com/British Tech Network. Thank you very much for all the people that have sponsored us. And if you're also part of the donation system that we had before through PayPal, you get your entry as well. Don't worry about that. It's a good prize, isn't it, this month?
That was crazy.
There's loads there.
Steve, I was wondering when you were going to stop.
He's going to pull a canoe out of his bag soon.
I'm going to make a list for next week and just show it on the screen because I'm knackered already.
You should do, actually, you should, well, never mind.
A
you
pack shouldn't. Shop.
There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff in that bag. It was amazing. It was a little bit like Santa Claus.
It was. The stuff that you
I thought it was more like a bag of holding.
A bit like that. Well, I was thinking what might be fun, like just as a gag, he could actually, well, you don't want to cut a hole in that bag, though, because you're giving it to people, but just reach in and pull out like a lamp, you know, like stuff under it, because it was like a bag of holding, as you say.
It was. There we go. I'm trying to clear it now so I can get back to my mouse so I can do the change in the shots. But that's it. That's the comment. That's the competition for this month. End of April, last day of April, whoever is a supporter to us on patreon.com will get a chance. And you've also got... the Square Jellyfish mini pad tripod thing as well, because I dropped that on the floor when we were doing it. Thank you. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Ray?
Yes. What?
Where can we get a hold of you?
On Twitter, it's macOSKen. You can also go to macOSKen.com. And on Instagram, it's macOSKen. And on Cactus, it's Ken, because, you know, why be consistent?
Oh, mate. Thank you ever so much for coming on. We finally got you on. We've been trying for a few weeks, but and thank your dog for being quiet. Duncan's been very good.
He's been good for the most part, yeah. And sorry about the mix-up with the time.
No, don't worry. That's partly my fault as well. You can take the tape off his muzzle now. Wheatley, where are you, sir? On mute, clearly.
Where he does his best work?
I am right here. I was saying lots of interesting things there, and people kept talking over the top of me, and I was getting a bit fussed about it, but apparently it was sort of people in mute this whole time.
Oh, we're total professionals on this network. Total. Where can we get a hold of you, Paul?
So you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. You can also find me on The Gamer Show on this network, which is a fantastic show, in my opinion, dealing with video games, iOS games, Xbox games, PC games, everything like that. That's every fortnight. And The Pocket Show, which is alternate fortnights. Again, on this network, we deal with all things mobile. So we normally have a panelist on the deal that's a Windows expert, an iOS expert, and an Android expert. And then I host it, and we all just debate mobile stuff.
Good man. Excellent. It's a good show as well.
The Help Show this week, too.
The Help Show starting on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. If you've got any questions, send them to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And it's going to have an iOS expert in there, a Linux expert, an Android expert. It's going to have a PC expert. It's going to have me for photography. And we'll try and get your question answered.
You can also, if you want to do questions about gaming as well, Sam from The Gamer Show, who is also a PC tech in his day job. So if you have any questions about gaming or anything like that, or getting games working, or stuck on a certain thing, we can also cover that in the show as well. It's basically all things tech that we're going to answer questions on.
Good man. Paul Kent, you can get at Paul Kent on Twitter, and he's at IDG Marketing as well, so give him a look out. Alison, where are you, girl?
I can be found at podfeet.com. I do the No Silicast podcast, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. And on Twitter, I'm Podfeet, and I will be on The Pocket Show next week. I'm very excited about that. I'm being sucked into your madness here.
No, you'll like it, because, I mean, now you think my phone's got a really nice camera, don't you?
I'm not going to say something nice about Windows. Oh, I'm not going to do it.
That was for all the people on audio. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me at Maccast, maccast.com. Also do the, I think we're going to rename it, but currently the We Have Communicators podcast over at wehavecommunicators.com with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston.
Excellent. And Jean, where can everyone get hold of you, and what can they do about App Camp for Girls?
You can find out everything you want to know about us at appcamp4girls.com, where the four is the number four, or not. Know about domain name forwarding. Appcamp4girls.com, you can get in touch with me. You can fill out our volunteer interest form or camper interest form. We are collecting camper interests so that when we see, wow, there's like 100 girls in in London who want to do this, we really need to recruit an organizer for that. So that helps us, even though we don't have the camps yet. Please do feel free to sign up that you're interested. And there's also a contribute page. Money is what makes the whole thing happen. Ultimately, we can recruit more women. We can get them trained, and we can get the space that we need for more girls. So I urge you to do one or all of those.
Brilliant. I wish you every success, and anything we can do to support you, Jean, just tell us and we'll do it.
Thanks so much. It was great meeting you guys, by the way, at Macworld. And I really didn't realize you were newbies. I just feel like I just hadn't met you yet. I'm glad. Thank you. It was fun sharing cab with you and all those things.
That sounds inappropriate beyond extremes. It was just a cab ride. And we'll be back again next week. We've got the Mac Show back as normal. We'll talk about Apple news. If there's actually some, there probably will be. And then you can get this prize. Don't forget. We'll see you there. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.